The following is a presentation of Stewed Productions.
Hey everybody, Josh here. A quick reminder as I switch the thing here, if I figure out how to do it. We have a Patreon page, and that's a logo right there if you're watching on the video. If you're just listening on audio, it still sounds the same. But anyway, we have a Patreon page, and if you can help support Interbrews, that means we can add more cameras and you get more angles of this face. And just go to interbrews.com/Patreon or patreon.com/interbrews, and you too can help make this magical. So all that being said, Interbrews is the podcast, and this is Required Drinking with Keenan. And now I have to figure out where I'm going from here. Oh, yeah, I should hit the intro music. Oh, and I'm on the wrong
pitch. Do it.
I'm on the wrong pitch. All right, here we go.
It's time for a deep dive with the craft beer classics that made you fall in love back in the day. It's a refresher course on the best beers of all time. This is Interbrews, Required Drinking. Now here are your hosts, Keenan Zarling and Josh Stewart.
That's it.
I gotta say, Josh,
yeah.
I am pumped for today.
Are you?
I am. So we are doing one of my intro, like one of my, like not one of my Mount Rushmore beers,
mm-hmm.
but this is one of my like first, holy shit, mushrooms.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is one of my, like, we're getting into beer. Young Keenan is finding his entry into beer.
Mm-hmm.
So I got stories, I got travels, I've got soapboxes,
uh-huh.
we've got everything that makes for an excellent beer podcast. And so without further ado,
mm-hmm.
the beer we're talking about today, we've got Spaten Oktoberfest.
Oh, hold on, I had a graphic sort of. Hold on, let me see if I know how to do this now. Boom. Spaten. Boom. The one and only original.
Yeah.
That's 1397, according to that.
Okay. So I feel like we've got to do some, we got to do a little bit of like asterisking on this episode.
Yeah.
So Spaten is, it's not craft beer.
No.
By American definitions, it is a subsidiary of a subsidiary. I can't even say it.
It's that bad of a word.
It's just it is a entity that has been owned by other entities, inevitably purchased by a larger entity, and now it is one of the many beers in the AB InBev portfolio.
Yeah.
Like you can't keep track of them. It's like figuring out all the things that like Nestle or Kraft owns.
Oh
like,
yeah, you would need a chart, and you would, like we talked about before we started the actual official show, you would need at least a few 27-inch monitors for that graph to.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, and especially if you were to chart it over time and be like, okay, but when was this acceptable? Like, when was this not owned by? Because for those that don't know, you know, Anheuser-Busch, because we're talking Europe. So Spatenbrau is a old school Munich brewery. Mm-hmm. Like they've been around the block for quite some time. You know, here in America, we have a lot of this, like, you know, Anheuser-Busch evil. And it's like, okay, they are, but these days, Anheuser-Busch is Anheuser-Busch InBev. It's AB InBev.
Mm-hmm.
InBev is this completely separate, like European monster of beer that in America, we don't, here in America, we don't really know about. Like we don't really connect it. It's kind of unfortunate, but here on like this side of the pond, a lot of the beers that we have access to, unfortunately, you're not going to get a lot of super cool niche like craft beer from Europe unless it goes through a AB InBev or a much, much larger portfolio. So anyway, that's the asterisk. That's the, like, we're going to, cause I don't want to get emails or like get like people commenting on the YouTube video. Just like, you know, that's not actually craft beer.
Right. Right. We never said this. I mean, Interbrews is a craft beer podcast, right? A craft beer centric podcast based in Houston, hosted by me for the most part. And then every, you know, whatever. Right. And this used to be craft, I guess. This was like craft before craft was craft, right?
Well, and so that's what's really interesting. So for those at home that don't know a ton about me, I went to brewing school. That was what I did when I was flopping around after I graduated college and I didn't know what to do, and we were in the middle of a different recession. I said, you know, all right, well, screw it. I'm going to go to brewing school. I'm going to follow a hobby and turn it into a career. And the brewing school that I did was the Siebel diploma program, which did, two-thirds, majority of it or so up in Chicago, and then had a practical portion of the course was in Munich, in Grafelfing specifically, so like suburb, the Katy of Munich, if you will.
Do they have lots of trucks with jacked up, like, on lifts and, like,
you know,
mud tires?
No, most of my time in Grafelfing, like, it's just cute, like, it's the, like, oh, here's our, like, welcome to Grafelfing, and it's like just like it's just a suburb, and like they do suburbs just completely different. Like, okay. It's neither here nor there.
Okay. No big tires.
I mean, it's just a lot more like, you know, rows of apartment blocks and, like, you know, hey, these are home. Like, if you've never traveled in Europe, there's this sort of expression that, like, in Europe, 200 years is 200 years is young. In America, 200 years is old. In Europe, 200 miles is forever to go.
Yeah.
It's a long way to go. And in America, 200 miles is like, oh no, man, that's like, I do that a couple times a week.
Yeah.
Like, that's a short distance. So there's lots of perspective there. So, like, rows of houses, you know, rental units or whatever, where it's just like, yeah, no, those are all like 60, 70 years old and they're new. But anyway, neither here nor there. But so the thing is, a lot of German beer styles are very near and dear to my heart. And one of the reasons why is because I feel like we can't talk about German beer without talking about Reinheitsgebot, which, for those at home that aren't familiar with it, TLDR, it's a German purity law, it's a food safety law and taxation law that was passed like 500 plus years ago, and it's the first, like, written, acknowledged, like, food safety law. The thing is, that constrained the German brewing scene for hundreds of years, because the Reinheitsgebot said, if you're going to sell beer, it can only be made of these ingredients. It was originally malted barley. Eventually there was a carve out for malted grains to include wheat. Water, hops, that's it.
Yeah.
Eventually, when they discovered the existence of yeast, they added yeast in. There's all kinds of loopholes that German brewers go through to get around it, but that's another podcast. But the whole beauty of this is, in true German fashion, they basically developed, like, over the course of their brewing history, like 500 years, they basically developed like six real styles, which is like, I think we've got six different kinds of pastry stout in the last week. Like, but so the thing is, placed into this petri dish, this, I don't mean to call it Germany a petri dish, but placed into this this pressure cooker of the German culture, they perfected all of these styles. And so in German brewing culture, it is absolutely, it's methodical, it is borderline insane, the attention to detail on nuance, on, you know, when you're drinking an Oktoberfest versus a versus, you know, a Pilsner or just a Helles, which is just a pale lager, you know, all the way up to, you know, they have Fest beers, like all these beers where you go, these are all just, they're practically the same thing, but it's, they're also, they're defined as much by what they are as much as by what they are not. So anyway, that's kind of my like impassioned Oktoberfest is a wonderful, it's kind of the, no, I don't know if I can say original, but it is sort of the like OG party beer.
That's true. I mean, it was made for a party. Speaking of, let's get the party started. I'm going to
pull. Oh, yeah. No, I'm way ahead of you.
I don't know what the official beer, like the glass style is for Oktoberfest. I imagine like a lager glass, a little fluted kind of thing. But I was like, you know, I was watching some video as research for this episode, and I also watched beer part the like beer fest. I can't not look at this beer and talk about this style and not think the movie Beer Fest. And so Prost.
Yeah. Zum Wohl.
Ooh, we should, there needs to be Oktoberfest filter.
That is but speaking of filtered, it stuff's bright.
I think
go ahead.
I was going to say, I think mine's a little light struck.
And that's possible. So one of the reasons why I'm excited for this beer. Admittedly, let's chat a little bit about, the dangers of going out and buying a European beer.
Yep.
For whatever reason, I don't know when the hell this this was like developed. Like people got real. This idea was developed that European import beer or European beer was light struck. It has this skunky aroma, flavor, and it's a chemical reaction that takes place between a hop compound and riboflavin in the beer, in the like the malt makeup. Light hits it, TLDR, makes bad flavors, or rather, not even bad flavors, it just makes a flavor, makes a smell.
Yeah.
And it happens super, super fast, which is why when you go buy beer in bottles, 9 times out of 10, 9.5 times out of 10, it's in a brown bottle, because the brown protects the light, or rather blocks the light from getting through. Mm-hmm. It's also why cans are superior in regards to protecting beer from light. But for some asinine reason, Spaten, Heineken, Beck's, so many of these German, or I guess Heineken's Dutch, but so many of these European close beers, yeah, they're all the same. I'm sitting here just going like, I've got like a lot of like friends and like ex-girlfriends and other people that are just going to be like, ooh. But for some asinine reason, they decided when we're going to export beers to North America, to other parts of the world, we're going to choose green glass. We're going to let it get light struck. We're going to do all this. I picked up a case of Spaten like mix packets. They're Oktoberfest, whatever, and it was like 2 6-packs of Oktoberfest, a 6-pack of Spaten, just plain Spaten lager, which I believe is just a plain Helles, and a 6-pack of their Doppelbock. But it was in a case, a sealed cardboard case all the way around.
Okay.
And that's my like tip of the week for beer hunters out there looking to buy a German European beer or even a Mexican lager, although like a Corona or Pacifico. Buy the whole case. Just suck it up. These are poundable, refreshing, amazing beers. The difference between the 6-pack of Corona and the case of Corona is night and day.
Yeah, mine, I exact opposite. We had not decided on a particular beer until today. Typically, I have a great spot to go to. Today, still a good spot, just not for necessarily the beers that we had on the list. And so this one, not in a case, not even in a 6-pack holder, not even tucked away into the refrigerated section, in the build your own 6-pack front row with a spotlight on. I think now you're the expert. The light struck fluorescent lighting, same, like maybe not the same as, ultraviolet or sunlight, but it'll get light struck from ultraviolet or from fluorescent.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
What about LEDs? Like if you just had like a.
I will admit I am not an expert on the I can't recall what the actual wavelength is of light. And I don't, my understanding is it has nothing to do with like, is it from an LED or is it from fluorescent light or is it from incandescent or whatever? It's the wavelength of light. Because if you go into if you're going into a walk-in and, you just have like, just a couple incandescent bulbs or just, other very light, like warm bulbs, it's enough to see, but it's not necessarily going to produce enough light to penetrate a bottle very quickly.
Yeah.
Over time, it's still going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I got my brain churning where I was like, ooh, but now we get to talk about the beers that are in clear bottles, but aren't light struck, because that's where we get into some wizardry.
Yeah.
But that's neither here nor there, because we're talking about.
We should do some of those beers though on this required drinking. People should be required to drink less than the best, tasting beers.
Well, and because you can't drink PBR. I can't drink, but you shouldn't have to drink PBR every week.
No,
but gosh darn it, you need to drink PBR maybe once a quarter. No, I'm not saying once a quarter, once a year, just as a that's a reminder.
Preferably on a fishing trip or something.
Exactly, it has its place
with a little bit of that really dark dirt that you get the nightcrawler worms in along the edge. That's just me.
Yeah, I got PBR stories too, so we'll have to do PBR at some point.
We should do that on a boat, like on a pond.
I was going to say just like on a pontoon boat, like
either way, I'm fine.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. I am not much for fishing, but the fish will be scurred.
Mm-hmm.
But so let's talk a little bit about Oktoberfest,
please.
So Oktoberfest is I feel like on one hand there's so much that I just take for granted. I'm like, Oktoberfest, everybody knows, check. But for those that don't know, Oktoberfest is a huge beer festival. I'm looking at Wikipedia and it does not lie. It is the world's largest Volksfest. It's the largest beer festival, carnival, in the world, like the world. And it runs for like 2 to 3 weeks, really just depending on how the calendar lines up. And it's always the last 2 weeks of September, sometimes bleeds into October. Like it just depends.
Yeah, it's a wedding celebration.
Yeah. It originally started off as a wedding celebration, I forget all the names of the party. But this is way back in the early 1800s.
Prince Ludwig to Princess Teresa, I guess Teresa. The Bavaria in 1810, Bavaria's King Maximilian the First.
Damn, that guy sounds awesome.
And he declared a 2-day festival, and then they just said, "Hold my beer."
Yeah, for real. And it's just kind of become it's blown up into what it is now. Mm-hmm. Where you go in, there's like long tables, and it is a celebration of friendship, of camaraderie, of German culture, of just generally having a good time.
Did you get to go when you were going to Siebel over in Germany?
So I did not get to go to Oktoberfest. I was there in the spring.
Okay. Don't they have a spring equivalent?
But they do. Ah. And that I did get to go to.
I hear that one's even better. But you say, you tell me.
I haven't been to Oktoberfest, so I can't say I can't do comparisons. But Frühlingsfest, which is literally just Springfest, mm-hmm. Frühlingsfest is just the right amount of overwhelming.
Yeah.
Where you feel like you can leave.
Okay, good.
Like, where you're like, you're there, you mm-hmm. be like, I'm going into the tent, I'm partying, I'm drinking a couple of beers, and then you're like, I'm ready to leave, and you can leave.
Okay.
And the people that I've talked to that have done both or have been to both, they've said, you know what, Frühlingsfest it's about half the size, but it's on the same grounds. Mm. It's on the same location. So it's not as big, mm-hmm. but it's on the same space, so it just is less of a like just big old cluster.
Yeah.
But anyway, at some point, and this is where like my beer history fails me, but at some point, this style, the Märzen style of beer, Märzen beer, which is what we're drinking, mm-hmm. became the official style of Oktoberfest. It probably has something to do with the fact that Märzen, which is the German word for Mars, is at one point in time was required to be brewed in basically no later than March, like early April, to then usually be served at the end of summer, basically right around the time that Oktoberfest was happening.
So I got a little background if we want to pause to, according to the Brewers Association or Home Brewers Association, if we believe them, right?
They know a thing or two.
Yeah. The story goes, and this is actually, the original beers were likely darker lagers, more along the lines of Munich Dunkels.
Yeah, okay. I believe it.
Okay. And which makes sense because it was probably, well, we'll get into all that. The use of crystal and Munich malts and a noble hop. Let's see. And the story goes, 1872, one of the approved Oktoberfest breweries ran out of precious dark lager while trying to quench the thirst of attendees during an exceptionally hot summer. Instead of accepting defeat and very likely losing their coveted contract with Munich Oktoberfest, because, right, there's only like five official Oktoberfest breweries.
Yeah, I believe there's six of them, and okay, it's six. Like they make a big deal about like, you have to be brewed in Munich, uh-huh. and or otherwise you cannot serve beer here.
Okay, name all six, or you have to chug. Go.
Spaten Francis Connor. I guess Spaten Francis Connor is like one. Leuenbrau, Hofbrau, Augustiner. Oh, don't make me chug it. I don't know.
Is Wursteiner one of them?
Wursteiner sounds right. I don't know. I don't know.
We'll I don't have it in front of me, so I can't. But that was.
We'll have to do a road trip.
You'll have to chug like the rest of one at some point.
Yeah, I'll scouts on her. I'll.
Maybe on the out credits. Anyway, what did I say? Oh, yeah. I was in the story, and then I started scrolling, and now I don't know where I was.
Yeah.
Oh, 1872.
Became the official.
Yeah, instead of accepting defeat, losing their coveted contract with Munich Oktoberfest, the brewery brought in a stronger, about 8% Vienna-style lager. Even with slightly higher price, it was a hit. And box-strength lagers increased in popularity up until the time of World War I. Matt, when you think about what Germany's been through in the history, just in the last like 200 years, holy crap, like how is that still a place? Anyway, after the First World War, the strength of standard Oktoberfest beer fluctuated between 4 and 9%. I wonder if they let you know before you walked in there. It's like, that's a pretty big swing. Let's see, in the color evolving, Märzen-like hue. Today, the Oktoberfest style has settled into session strength. So we're probably talking, 4.5, right? Malt forward lager, beautiful golden to copper, yada, yada, yada. And so now we're in fest beer territory today, which is closer to Helles, right?
Yeah. So a fest beer is usually, Oktoberfest. You're great, but I feel like we kind of have to let's go back to let's go back to, you know, exhibit 1-1. The Oktoberfest that we here in America you'll find on the grocery store that most breweries are trying to emulate is a Märzen style lager, which is a little bready, a little malty. It's got a little body to it. Yeah, it's still pretty drinkable. Yeah, it is 100% a beer that you can sit down and drink a liter of it, and you can kind of go, that was kind of my dinner. And then go, yeah, but I need a pretzel too. Bread and meat and little, you know, snacks like pickles and stuff.
Yeah.
Like when you think of German food,
nine
times out of 10, especially like bar food, proper Märzen is where those foods line up with.
Preach it. Amen.
Then we get to now. And the thing is, at some point in time, like over the last 30-ish years or so, the Oktoberfest beers that you find at Frühlingsfest, Oktoberfest, is this sort of new style that's developed, which is a fest beer. And fest beer is much more akin to like a Helles lager, in the sense that it's not quite as light as a pils and in body flavor, whatever. It's a little more full bodied. It's a little more flavorful. You got a little more malt character going on. But it's pale like a Helles. It's not quite this like copper hue that Oktoberfests tend to be. And fest beer is sessionable. Like, I guess somebody realized like, hey, look, we got people coming here. They're dropping like €9 to get a liter of beer.
Yeah.
We can give them this like 5 to 6% Märzen, which is an expensive beer or more expensive beer to make. Or we can make a beer that's dialed back. The alcohol's a little lower, still flavorful. And you can just drink it. You can drink more of it. And so that's kind of where fest beer comes in. It's still a delicious beer. Like it's a independent of Helles. Fest beer is certainly worth checking out, but you're not really going to find it in the States anywhere near as much as Oktoberfest, because Oktoberfest has this sort of like St. Patrick's Day vibe to it here in the States, where it's not really like, what do you know about Oktoberfest? I don't know. I like the beer. Like sausage, pretzels.
Yep. Well, it didn't help that when craft beer was first launching, it was one of those. Anything called Oktoberfest was what you had for the like your fallish time. We're, you know, of course, we're here in South Texas. We're in Houston, so fall doesn't even start for another 8 weeks. I guess it's still hotter than crap outside.
Yeah,
we had a rumor that a cold front was coming through, and everybody got so excited. I know for me, I was just like, yeah, it's going to be like, the high is going to be like 80. It's going to be awesome. The overnight low is going to be like 60 something.
I bought stuff to make stock, and I made ramen.
Yeah.
And I found myself going like, it's still 90 degrees outside. Uh-huh. I guess I'm eating ramen and sweating.
Yeah.
Like, that's just.
It's what you do. Yeah. And so it's like these, you know, like shout out to the OG of Texas beers, which I'm sure we'll do one of their beers at some point on required drinking, but St. Arnold, their Oktoberfest wasn't even a lager, or like they did one and it wasn't. And then they like, you know, and it was like, you could just call it whatever. And that was all across this country. It's like, yeah, just, it's, you know, it's close enough. And and so now you still have
in spirit.
Right. And you still have those beer, like St. Arnold still puts out their Oktoberfest, and I love that beer, but it's not an Oktoberfest, and they have another beer called Guten Tag, and that's closer to a fest beer. And you're like, okay, I'm going to drink them both. It's fine.
Yeah. But they're both good beers.
Yes. But when you try to explain, like, that's an actual style to people, it's like, you know what? Just drink it, eat a pretzel, it's fine, and then a schnitzel or whatever. You know, just get
just enjoy it. And if you want to talk, I'll be over here. Talk, just come talk to me. Yeah, like when you're ready.
I'm gonna open another one. Can I say something real quick?
Do it.
I mean, I just did, but I'm gonna say one more thing, just real quick. This is very quick. Bottles,
very fast.
Popping micro machine moment. Remember that guy? I wonder what he's doing right now. But anyway, popping the top off of a bottle is very satisfactory. That just felt good.
It is, and we've talked on the subject of bottles versus cans, and, you know, I think especially when we were doing Saison DuPont, talking about, like, there's the experience of you're popping the cork, you're taking the cage off, like, it's sexy.
Yeah, but just, and, like, popping the bottle cap, like a bucket of icy beers.
Oh, yeah, it is part of the experience of drinking beer. And granted, it's a small part, but there is when you're talking about things that are cultural, and man, you don't get quite as cultural as German Oktoberfest lager beer. When you're talking culture, romance matters.
Mm-hmm.
Your feelings, how you feel about something matters.
I wish I had some sexy music to play right now, but go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, just put on some polka and just
boom, boom, sexy boom, polka. Boom, is there boom, sexy boom, polka boom, with like saxophones and,
you know what? I'm sure there is. I don't need it in my life, but I'm sure there is. But the goodness, I don't even know where I'm going with this. It's an excellent beer, and like to your point, oh goodness, it's giving me them burpees, but not in the CrossFit way. There was a time when here in the States we were just, as far as making beer styles for craft beer, people were fast and loose with what we called beers,
mm-hmm.
and for the most part, you know, it's innocuous. It was in good faith. Like, I was just like, you know what, you know, it's an Oktoberfest beer. It's a beer for Oktoberfest celebrations. I'm not calling this a Märzen. Like, what? And it's like, okay, cool. That makes sense.
Uh-huh.
But we, as informed and educated craft beer drinkers, and really, admittedly, like, the craft beer scene now is dramatically different than it was 30 years ago, where you basically had, you know, domestic microbrew and import.
Mm-hmm.
We now find ourselves in a world of, like, you can go down to the grocery store and you can get imported beers, you can get locally produced beers that are attempting to emulate the beers that you find from those imports, and you, the consumer, can sit down and do a side by side. You can sit down and drink this, and that's the thing, man. So back when I was working at 11 Below, just, you know, holla, we we were reluctant to, we did a Pilsner, and then we were thinking, you know what, let's do an Oktoberfest. That'll be really cool. We love the style. It's something we really want to do, but we found ourselves, in this bit of a pickle because, you know, draft Oktoberfest, you go to a bar, even pre-COVID, going to a bar, you know, they've got six or eight different people trying to sell their Oktoberfest. And then they, you know, most bars are either going to overwhelm themselves with too many Oktoberfests, or they're just going to pick two or three and be done.
Yeah. It's everybody. It's like, there's been more each year that people are doing. I was going to give a shout out to one, that is new this year, but we'll do that towards the end of the show. So yeah, go ahead. Don't let me interrupt.
But so my whole point was that, but package, in that getting your beer onto the shelf, getting it, you know, in a fun Oktoberfest, you know, can or bottle or, you know, label, whatever, is inviting. It invites you to just go, you know what, it is going to be, the weather is going to be nice this weekend. Right. Hell yeah. I'm picking up an Oktoberfest,
yeah,
because it is a beer that pairs well with food. It's sessionable. It's infinitely drinkable. It's great as a standalone beer. And frankly, because it's not, it has a decent hop character. Like, there's a little bit of hop aroma, there's a little bit of bitterness, but by and large, it's not an aggressive and assertive beer. In the hop or the bitterness category, it's very approachable to even non-beer drinkers.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a great entry-level beer for people that are interested in craft beer or interested in just what beer can be.
So speaking of hops, I'm guessing Oktoberfest, if you're going to stay traditional, if you're going to stay, you know, to style, which, you know, American brewers may or may not, right? The one actually I'll talk about at the end is a little more hop forward, a little more hop aggressive. But if you're going to do a traditional fest beer or something like Spaten, this Oktoberfest, I mean, I'm guessing it's all noble hops. It's all German, like obviously German style.
I mean, it's most likely, well, you know what, I can speculate all over the place. But I mean, it's probably just noble hop finish. Like, it's noble hops at the end to get you some aroma, get you a little bit of flavor. A lot of the bitterness is probably coming from, you know, a high alpha hop like Magnum or, oh goodness, I'm forgetting. There's a whole suite of like German high alpha hops that they lean on for just, you know, I think Tettnang is one of them. It's been so long since I've looked at like a hop list with all the alphas and everything.
Uh-huh. Do you have a favorite German hop or a noble hop?
You know, well, as far as noble hops go, you know, man, I really like, just, it's boring AF, but Hallertau Mittelfrüchte.
Yeah, okay.
Because it's classic.
Yeah.
Like, it is the OG quintessential noble hop.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of where things start getting weird, not weird, but like one of the downsides of, the German beer culture, zeitgeist, whatever, is that they found their, you know, six, you know, mother styles, and then just made all these like little like baby, like weird modifications where it's like, why is this wheat beer different? Ah, we took the yeast out. And it's like, okay, cool. So it's a dramatically different beer now, I guess. But one of the things that they are kind of stuck on, for lack of a better word, is because everything that they are about is, or almost all their beers are about subtlety and nuance. It means that their hops, for the most part, are fairly subtle and nuanced. It's about, ooh, that's an interesting little character. And here in America, where we're like high octane, just like, oh yeah, give me the juice. Like, it requires a bit of that lupulin shift where you kind of have to come back and go, this this is okay. Like, you have to start looking for hop character when you're switching from American style, like IPAs and stuff, trying to get back to like European, you know, continental lagers.
You know what I love about this show, these episodes? One, you, all the knowledge you drop, but you finally took a drink. And I think you just finished your first beer.
I did, yeah.
And so I get to sit here. Just, like, normally I have to talk and keep the thing, you know, it's like, but nah, you're so chock full of information and
oh man,
beery goodness. I just get to sit here and listen. I'm like, I'm a fan of listening to you talk. And so I'll admit, these episodes are maybe more for me than for anybody else. But I'm a fan, so.
Yeah, this style and these styles, like just German beers in general, are like that's my jam, because yeah. And we can get into like all of the like deep down philosophical conversation about what is beer, like real deep down, what is it meant to be? Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, and maybe this would be a good like story that really like sums up what Spaten Oktoberfest is for me, because beer is many things, but for me, especially a lot of these beers and require drinking, the ones that are really a cut above our memory. So when I was in my early 20s, just starting to legally or not legally drink, going to UT over in Austin, I guess the statute of limitations have passed. When I was a sophomore,
you should be fine.
I was a sophomore at UT, and of course I had a bunch of upperclassmen friends and whatnot, and we were all a bunch of bigger dudes, like to eat. And at one point we said, you know what? It is Oktoberfest. Like, let's go find a place where we can go get a bunch of German food, and let's go get a pitcher of beer. Like, oh, the one person here that's 22 is going to buy a pitcher of beer, and all the 20-year-olds are going to, like, you know, we're all going to split a beer. We're not going to get like wasted, but we're just like, we could drink a beer, eat a bunch of German food. This seems right. And so we did a bunch of searching, and there is a little restaurant in a little town in Texas called Wahlberg. Are you familiar with it? Or
I'm familiar with the Marky Mark.
No. Yeah. So it's a no relation. Okay. No relation. Okay. This is Texas, born and bred. No Boston town.
All right.
So Wahlberg is, I want to say it's about 30, 45 minutes like north of Austin. And it, at the time, and I don't know what it's like now, but at the time it was like you hear banjos. Like, it's just like you're going down farm roads. You find yourself going like, what are we doing? As you head towards the town, village, hamlet of Wahlberg. Uh-huh. There's really like one actual building in Wahlberg, and it is, and I think I had it up, but basically the Wahlberg restaurant, which is the German restaurant in Wahlberg.
It's got 4.5 stars.
Yeah. And you know what? It deserves all 4 of those stars. 4.5 is very generous. I'm not saying that because it's trash or whatever, but just because like it is what it is.
Yeah.
They offer during Oktoberfest, especially on the weekends, like you can go in and they have a German buffet, and it's all you can eat, you know, $17 bucks, whatever.
From where I sit now, 2 hours, 24 minutes. Just it's between. See, it's north of Georgetown. Are you just off 35 on if you're on 35 heading north of Austin on 972, take a right.
But so like the food is decent.
Yeah.
Beers, it's what you'd expect. I mean, like there's a lot of like a lot of domestics. Uh-huh. They have Shiner, and then they've got like their three or four imports.
Yeah.
And one of them was Spot and Oktoberfest. Mm. And the sitting around a table with your buddies, just chowing down on sausage and spätzle, sauerkraut, sauerbraten, like just decent German food. I'm going to stress, it is an experience. The food is solid, but you're not going there because you're like, oh yes, I'm going to get like the most authentic, amazing German food. Like, you go and get fed. That's what you're going there for. If you're talking about food. But the experience of, they had live music where like they have a beer hall, like with a tent set up and everything. And you can get a little slice of Oktoberfest in Central Texas that scrapes the surface. And it's, again, what is Oktoberfest? It's a celebration of friendship, of camaraderie, drinking, eating, spending time with people that you know and love, making new friends, loving new people, and then going back to wherever it is that you are sleeping that evening, going into a food coma while you watch Beer Fest.
Yeah.
And for like 3 years, that was our like bro house tradition, where it's like, guys, it's September, we're dropping what we're doing, and we're gonna make a point of going out to Wahlberg, and we're gonna just gorge ourselves on some decent German food, drink a couple pitchers of beer, and then we're gonna just regret it all the way back to UT or back all the way back to Austin.
It's one of those things you need those experiences. You need those type of things. Like, especially now, we've been through all of this stuff. I think we've touched on it every episode we've done. This is number 5 of Required Drinking. I think we've touched on it each time. But we're getting close. I feel like we're getting close to the end of this. Right? I mean, you can almost like, it's almost like a hint. I don't know. But we need that. Once we are there on where we can all do the things, those are things we need to do.
You're talking about the COVID thing. I thought you were talking about like we're getting close to the end of this. I'm like, the end of required drinking?
No.
Dun, dun, dun.
There is no end to required drinking.
Yeah.
That'll never happen. There's too many.
No, we're getting to the point where, you know, we're recording this on September 13th. Oktoberfest goes, I don't know what the date is for this year. I don't even know if it's actually happening this year.
October? I think they canceled Oktoberfest.
Which they should have, which is a good thing
to
do.
Right.
But you know what? If you haven't hung out with any of your homies in the last couple of weeks in person, do a Zoom meeting Oktoberfest. Or if you've all been social distancing, have a backyard barbecue where you throw a couple of like bratwursts or like, you know, kielbasas or something, you know, gets just, it doesn't even matter if it's German, just get some sausage, get some andouille on there, whatever. Just do something.
Boudin, whatever.
Do it.
Yeah.
Put some sausage on the grill, you know,
wear a hat,
just a hat. But, and you know what, that's the thing is, so Texas has such a large German immigrant population. And just that region, Czech, German, Polish, Austrian. And it is reflected in much of like little aspects of our culture still connect to that. Mm-hmm. So for real, like, do a backyard barbecue, pick up some Oktoberfest, pick up 2 or 3 Oktoberfests.
Yeah.
Like you and your homies. Everybody, you know, get a spot and get the Sierra Nevada Oktoberfest, which is excellent every year.
If you were going to
recommend a local one, right?
Well, I'm going to note a local one. I don't know if I like it. I personally, I like it. Right.
That's all that matters.
It's it's new, and I like it most because it's of the name, and we were talking about Beer Fest the movie, so maybe that's a hint to what I'm about to mention.
Oh yeah.
But it's we did, like, when we first started Interbrews, like, actually before we started Interbrews, when Interbrews was the Bars and Tone podcast, which that lasted, we never even recorded, like, we recorded some episodes, but we didn't even know how to post them. And so it was like six dudes are going to talk about all the things in the world. And it's like, oh, we all have different schedules. Anyway, that's a whole nother thing. But we did an Oktoberfest tasting, and it was like Shinerbach, like, right? That's going to be, we'll have to discuss that at some point. But Shiner Oktoberfest, it was St. Arnold. Summit, I think, was the one that actually won. I think before the buyout, Carboktoberfest was one. I'm trying to think what else we had. Sierra Nevada was probably one. I mean, we're talking 8 or 9 years ago now. Geez, that's a long time. But anyway, there's a bunch of Oktoberfests out there. No, Southern Star didn't have one yet. I don't even know. Real Ale had one though.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's worth, because there was so much variety on that table, and you think, all right, all these beers are going to taste the same, and a lot of them tasted similar. But yeah, you can go, like, right now, when I went to my grocery store today, there was probably 7 or 8 to choose from right there. You didn't even have to, you know, arm's reach. Einger has one. Do you? I don't know.
Oh yeah, Einger.
What do you think? Is that the one that we missed on the?
I think it probably is. Yeah. So, admittedly, Augustiner will always be my like when it's Munich time. Mm. Every time's a Munich time. When you're when I was in Munich, and again, we found ourselves, you know, me and my classmates, we were just like, you know, we were switching from, we're drinking here in America, where it's like you go to a bar, like a craft beer bar, a beer bar.
Yeah.
And it's like, boom, here's your like 30, 40, 50 plus different craft beers.
Yeah.
From like, some of them are from like West Coast, East Coast. This is in Chicago. So it's like, some of them are just like the cream of the crop in Chicago. You got the weird stuff that's coming out of the suburbs. You got just everything. And then you go to Germany, where they still have tied houses, where it's like, oh yeah, we're at this beer bar. What do we got? And it's like, well, we have Augustiner Helles, Augustiner Weiss beer, Augustiner Keller beer, Augustiner Crystal Weiss, August. And I'm just like, oh, okay. So we drink a lot of these styles, where it's like, okay, we're gonna go to this beer hall, and we're gonna drink all the Löwenbräu, all the Spaten, and we're gonna drink just what we got. And Augustiner Helles, by far in my mind, is the, like, that's it. Like, that is the German, when you're talking German lager, it is the pinnacle of German lager experience in Europe. Here in Texas, it's ABGB Helles. ABGB Helles, but that's another episode.
Maybe a road trip too.
That would be worth doing a road trip. If I find myself like even getting close to Austin, just like, all right, we're going to go over there, support a local business, get a bunch of crowlers of ABGB Helles, and just like go to town, because that is a superb beer. I feel like we're now circling around the drain talking about everything but Spaten Oktoberfest.
Spaten's had 500 years of publicity. I think they're doing okay.
They've got about like 200. So I think Spaten. So fun fact, as we all know, if you've been listening to the podcast, if you're not just joining us, Spaten is owned by AB InBev. But Spaten Brauerei was merged with Franziskaner Brau back in the early, basically actually about 100 years ago. So Franziskaner and Spaten were like best buds, same brewery, same whatever, and then were inevitably bought out by Interbrew, which was bought out by Interbrew, which then merged with the Brazilian company Bebidas das Americas, which was then became InBev. Ambev. Oh, Ambev.
Yeah.
Ambev, and then that, or rather, Ambev merged with Interbrew to create InBev.
Yep.
And then InBev, yeah, it's all incestuous. Like there is no, like there is no ethical consumption under capitalism. That's another podcast. it's a hot mess. Okay, but so like you know, we had a structure that we tried to stick to at some point. And I feel like it's become a very loose, like, just
now,
you know,
you're well steeped in the Interbrew's student production. Anything I touch, way it's there's like a general idea, and then it's like, well, okay, let's actually see what happens.
Of course.
So,
but I think we're firmly in the summarize, wrap up.
Yeah.
Like. Spot in Oktoberfest, because one, it's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You can go find it. I guarantee you can go find it.
Do you remember the first time you tried it?
I want to say that it might have been there at the Wahlberg restaurant in Wahlberg, Texas.
I remember first seeing Spot when I moved to Texas. We would go to the County Line Barbecue.
Oh,
yeah.
Love me some County Line.
Yeah, they're in Austin. That's actually where we had our rehearsal dinner when we got married. There's, I think, two locations in Austin, if they're both still open. But then there was one here in the Houston area, not far from 11 Below. It was just right down the road. It was on Cutton Road. But then they closed it, and it's another restaurant now. But when we went, first of all, their house made bread and the pork sauce, mwah. But they just had Spot and beers just up and down the line. And I think that was the first time I'd had Spot in Oktoberfest was with County Line Barbecue, some pork ribs or something.
And I'm sure it was phenomenal.
Yeah, I'd do it again.
But yeah, so because first off, it's Oktoberfest. You just have to do it. And it's, you know, this beer is in season. This is the prime time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't turn into doesn't like go bad all of a sudden on like November 1st. Mm-hmm. It's still going to be good in November, but it's especially for you Texas listeners out there, really just everybody out there. Hell, it's you're going to have, you go into your grocery store, pick up some Spot in Oktoberfest because it is true to style. From the OG, like where it's from, what it's meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so while you're there, pick up a couple of six packs from your local brewery, because just about everybody does an Oktoberfest.
Mm-hmm.
Pick up some stuff from your local place. Pick up Sierra Nevada's, because theirs is always excellent. You know, pick up just whatever looks good and do your own Oktoberfest.
Mm-hmm.
Drink, you know, fill a cooler with it, make some ribs, do some barbecue, make some sausages.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, pork is almost a necessity.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to take almost out of that. Pork is a necessity.
Yeah.
And it's required drinking because October comes every single year, and Oktoberfest as an event, as a beer centric thing, it's better than St. Patrick's Day.
Yes.
Those are fighting words.
Yeah, no, you are correct. Also, Oktoberfest coming every year, October coming every year is such a solid thing. Even 2020 could not take away October. Might have to.
Can't stop it.
We can't stop. Won't stop.
Well, actually, to be fair, it's not October yet.
Right. You know, as soon as the words came out of my mouth, I'm like, shit, Josh, you said it too soon. Now 2020 knows that what you're saying is going to be like, hold my beer. Speaking of, you said get the local stuff. This year, I think this is the first year they put it out, at least packaged it for sure. One of our local Houston gyms here, Eureka Heights, they had Von Wolfhausen.
If
you don't drink this and watch Beer Fest, it's just Beer Fest. We should do a watch along episode if you're up for it at some point. That Beer Fest is they never did the sequel. They never talked about it. Yeah,
is it Pot Fest, Weed Fest, or whatever?
Yeah, right there at the end of the and by now it's like whatever. It's like I think Beer Fest stands on its own as being the work of art that it is.
It is. It is a delightful celebration of beer.
Yeah.
And again, if you're celebrate your Oktoberfest in whatever way you see fit, whether that's with your homies in a backyard or whether that's in a Zoom meeting, just like, hey, I'm eating a sandwich and drinking a beer, or whether that's just like, I bought myself a case of beer and I'm going to sit down and watch Beer Fest and I'm going to drink every time somebody says beer.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just go to the hospital. It's a wonderful time of the year, and it's a season. It's a whole season. So get out there while the weather is. I mean, it's hot, but it's getting better.
Yeah, it is getting better. It's going to be really nice probably in the next 4 weeks.
You know what? And that's, gosh darn it, 2020 sucks. Yeah. The big one.
Yeah.
But it's getting better.
Yeah, it is getting better. Every day gets a little better. Kenan.
Yeah.
That's. Hell yeah.
It's happening all the time.
I'm going to crack open a Von Wolfhausen and toast that, because yeah, this one, like this is a very much a, when you compare it to Spaten, it's very much a more hop forward, even though look how crystal clear that is.
Oh yeah.
That's.
Yeah. And that's, it's definitely a little lighter in color, and it's a little more of a, yeah, but again, it's that's sort of the American direction that start taking it, make it a little hoppier.
Oh, I could drink a ton of that, though. I'll be honest with you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
An inappropriate amount, probably. Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
Speaking of which, I think I'm going to go drink a Spaten Lager out of my mix case.
Did you get that at Costco? Yeah.
Sure did.
Costco, you can get a case of non-light-struck Spaten beer. 70-inch 4K TV, and a 9-gallon drum of mustard, and you're good, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And a whole bunch of sausages. Not a sponsor of the show, but
please sponsor us, Costco.
Costco, yeah. Listen, Costco, Costco's got a pretty decent beer selection at, you know, from time to time.
It's solid. You got to know what you're doing, but it's solid.
Yeah, yeah. So. But. Give us a call, Costco. I'm sure you got reps watching.
Just call me, babe.
Yeah. All right.
But so with that, I would say go out, get a good beer.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to get better.
It is going to get better. It's getting better. It's in the process.
Yeah.
The prost-cess.
Oh. Yeah. All right. We got to end on that joke, because it's not going to be better than that.
No, it's not. End on a high note. All right. I'll hit the outro music.
23 seconds.
Yeah, it is. Oh, yeah. All right, everybody. Thanks for watching this episode of Interbrews Required Drinking. And get out there and enjoy that beer. Buy a beer for somebody else. And, you know, just have fun. Kenan, thank you, sir.
Of course, Josh. My pleasure, my friend.
Bye, everybody.
The preceding has been a presentation of Stewed Productions.